Thank you for joining us for this message from More Life Church, where we exist to love God, to love people, and to reach a region for Jesus and to make a difference for generations to come. Now, to learn more about how we're reaching our community and how you can partner with us and learn how God has uniquely designed you, check out Grow Steps on Demand by visiting morelifechurch.com/growsteps or by downloading our app today. But for now, enjoy today's message.
Can you hear me? Hi. Oh my goodness, this is going to be crazy, guys. I don't know what I'm doing up here. Kind of, I just want to like run away right now. Yeah, I'm so happy that Josh trusted me enough to ask me to do this. Might be the last time he asked me. We'll see. I was told to, every time I talk to somebody, they're like, are you nervous? I'm like, yeah, I mean, sort of, like, told me two things. Don't be nervous, be authentic, and don't overthink it. I'm like, I can promise authenticity, I'm going to overthink it. That's just who I am. So, like, I'm going to try not to, but let's see how it goes. This is going to be a fun time. I hope you guys are ready for this. We're going to cry. I'm going to cry. I'm going to laugh, but you know, it's like a good movie. Like, hopefully you get some of both. And I don't know. I can't make you guys laugh and cry, but that's what happens when you ask an artist hippie to preach on a Sunday. We're going to be really all over the place, but hopefully you, like, get something from it. So anyway, let's see here. I got all my notes, and yeah, I'm going to probably rely on them a little bit, but I brought my water with me. This is not moonshine, in case anybody... I got my tea, my ginger tea and honey, just in case, too. But anyway, hopefully I don't spill it everywhere. We'll see. I am going to share a little bit of my story today. Sorry, I'm used to being on the camera, so it's kind of funny. Like, I'm like, are you following me? Are we good? I'm not, like, walking around too much. A little bit about my story on this Mother's Day. And it's going to be a little sad. About mental health, so just, you know, relax. It's going to be great. I was born, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me if you don't know about me. I was born to two missionaries, my mom and my dad. My mom is from Uruguay, and I think there's a little, should be a slide. Okay, so Uruguay is the little country here on the right. That's where my mom was born. My dad's from Zanesville, Ohio. But he spent, I know, so I don't have a marker for him. I figured you guys could, somewhere up there. anyway, so my dad spent 17 years in Argentina where he met my mom. My mom went to Argentina as well. I was born close to where that cube was in Mendoza, Argentina. Don't double check me. I know it's somewhere roughly on that side. Beautiful province of Argentina. I was there till I was around 4 years old. And then when I was 4 years old, we moved to New Jersey, where we stayed a year at this, also a mission, like it was like a mission, it was a big hotel is what it was, and we actually lived in a hotel for a year. And then they moved back to Zanesville. So I lived in Zanesville most of my life, grew up a pretty average life. I mean, a blessed life, a good life, like no big complaints. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my mental history. How many kids are okay. I struggled maybe with a little bit of depression, maybe some teen angst. We're just going to dive right in. Self-harm was probably there. It definitely happened. It was my way of coping with things that I felt like I couldn't handle when it came to anxiety. And I mean, I was a good kid. And when I did get in trouble, it was hard for me to handle some of those things. So I don't know. That's how I coped with things at a younger stage. It was never that bad. I think it was never that bad. Not enough for me to go to a psychologist or anything. But let's see. So I graduated high school, spent 2 years roughly back down in Argentina as a missionary. So played music, did some worship, led some children's soccer teams. Not that I played, I just helped. I have two left feet. I don't dance either. And I'm surprised I'm walking right now. If I fall over, just bear with me. Don't even feel sorry for me. It happens. But yeah, so I spent some time in there, which was like, I want to say that's where my minimalism stemmed from, because I lived out of a suitcase for like 2 years, and it was just great. You know, you lived with a whole bunch of people. It was like a whole community. I mean, it was probably borderline commune, which anyway, we'll get into that. But I loved it, came back, met my husband, Daniel, my now husband. He was not my husband then. And he had just come back from California working at the Angels Temple, I believe. Dream Center, something. So he seemed very cultured to me, even though he had never left the country. But I guess that's what happens when you live in California. You just get, you get all of that. So he thought he was marrying like a very Hispanic person. I kind of let him down. He thought I was going to make him burritos and tacos. I make fun of him for it this day, because in Argentina, just so you know, it is a very Italian-influenced area. There is nothing spicy. There's no tacos. I actually, once I lived there for a couple years, I wanted to come back, and I missed Mexican food. I missed Chinese food, because you just couldn't get it there. Anyway, sorry, honey. You got spaghetti. It was like the only thing I could make when we got here. A lot, so much spaghetti. And he told me he liked it and ate it for I don't know how long when he doesn't even like it. Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate it. So amazing. Love him very much. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for putting up with me, because as I tell you the rest of my story, it's amazing that he's still with me. We had Everly in 2014, a couple years after our marriage. I wouldn't say she was unplanned, but when there's nothing to not make that happen, babies happen. So unplanned, but yet she was part of the plan. So that was fine. I never wanted to be a mother. There was like nothing in me that was like excited about mothering. I was not a person that prepared my wedding in my like a wedding or babies. Like that was just like not in my head all of my life. I would probably say I was more career driven, like what I wanted to do. I wanted to make things. I wanted to be an artist, but not an artist that starves. So I went into like visual communications, which is a lot of graphic design. So it's a little bit above starving. So we had Everly, and 17 and a half months later, we had Winston. And this is, some of you guys know this already. I know I shared a little bit at the women's conference. Mothering is hard. I was not prepared for everything, and that was included with mothering. The fatigue, the tired, the non-sleeping, like, I need my sleep, and I wasn't functioning. My brain, your brain, sorry, mothers, the mom brain, where that one time I was looking for my cell phone, and I found it in my bowl of oatmeal for some reason. I had left my phone in my oatmeal. I'm like, this is bad. This is so bad. I dropped my son, Winston, as an infant. Not once. Two times. And lost it. I mean, complete meltdown. I look back now, and it's kind of funny. He's fine. He's fine. He's a big hard head. But I remember at the time, I broke down. I was just like, I am a failure. I am dropping my own kids. And I went through, I spiraled down, is what I would call it. At the time, I was trying to keep up with my Instagram account. I wanted to be Insta-famous, I guess you could say. I was posting cute pictures of our renovation and of our kids every time they did look cute. But I was dying on the inside and falling apart. If anybody's dealt with mental illness or a breakdown of any sort, you would know what I'm talking about. If you don't, learn from me, and maybe you can practice some empathy and empathize with your wife or whoever is going through this. But I lost it, guys. I was functioning. I was fine. You guys knew me. This was like three years ago. I was probably getting better right when COVID happened, because I remember everybody was like so upset about COVID happening. And I was like, this is great. I don't have to go anywhere. Like, I stuck on this 12 acres to run around. And I just remember feeling so bad for feeling so good. But I was just beginning to heal at that time. Some of the things that I would, that would just like attack me, it was like I would be crying all the time. Poor Daniel dealt with a lot of crying and me thinking he hated me. And he gave a solo to somebody else on the worship band, and I lost it. I'm like, I quit. I am not singing anymore, because I can do it, and you didn't let me do it, and I had issues, guys. It was pretty bad. So I am glad he's still around and stuck with me. But that spiral of anxiety and depression, just, it really puts you down into a really dark place. Lots of fears for my kids, fear for their lives, their health, and every time they got sick, it was, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? If they fell, if they got hurt, I put that all on me. I put all of that pressure of being a mom on my shoulders, and it ruined me. I didn't know how to continue with a career. I had kids. Daniel got, and I'm gonna talk about him a little bit, mostly because he's a big part of my life. I'm not going to say too much, because he told me I wasn't allowed to use him in any illustrations without asking him first. So I got to like filter everything I say as I'm speaking. So ministry. In case you don't know about this about me, I've always wanted to be in ministry. I wanted to be a missionary. I've always wanted to speak and share, which is just blowing my mind that I'm up here right now, because if you asked me 3 years ago, there's just no way I could have done it. I imagine my voice would be shaking, my knees knocking, and my heart palpitating, and right now I'm standing without sitting on this stool, guys, because back in the day, I know, this is a big deal. Back in the day, if you ever saw me sing on a stool, it's because I told Daniel, I was like, my knees are knocking so bad that I don't want that to come out as a stutter and shaking. So the fact that I'm here today, guys, is a miracle. So, anyway, I was talking about Daniel and where did I go after that? Ministry. Okay, so like this is something I've wanted for a long time. I was so jealous of Daniel because he got to do all the ministry things. I had to watch the kids. I had to take care of the kids. I had to do all the things. I was the one that remembered everything. Like, I don't even know if he was capable of remembering all the things that I had to remember with the kids. To just keep them alive. I fed them. I nurtured them. And to me, that was like, I hated it for a long time. I couldn't find that joy with my kids. My mental health started affecting my health. Looking back now, and if there's a doctor, maybe they can diagnose this, but I think I had anxiety attacks. Every day there were times when I couldn't breathe. I just couldn't fill my lungs with enough oxygen to fill, like, it was torture. I would have attacks where my chest would just start hurting. Like, I'm like, I don't want to panic. I hid it from Daniel, like, lots of times, all that pain. I mean, and from everybody, because I'm like, I'm not having a heart attack. I'm fine, like, and all these things. So my health was definitely declined. I would go to bed every night and think that I was probably going to die. is how bad I got, and thankfully I was able to sleep. My only way of sleeping was knowing that I'm at least going to go to heaven, so I was pretty sure I was going to heaven, but I would fall asleep like that, like, well, for a year. I would go to bed almost every night. why am I telling you all this? Why is this so dark? Because it is a testament of why I am here and God's grace and God's healing power and his perfect love. When I was going through all this, God was the last thing on my mind. Reading my Bible was the last thing on my mind. I probably prayed. It was probably more prayers of like, save me, God, because I don't know if I'm going to make it. And that's all I could do is just hold on to it. My marriage was not failing, but it was rough. We were into our third renovation on our house. We were basically camping in this side room in our house. Looking back, it was really ugly and really bad, but I got frustrated. I got into minimalism. Some of you guys know that already. Like, I don't like a lot of things. It consumed me. And I'm just going to say the lack of things can consume you just as much as having many things. I call myself a recovering minimalist now. I don't shout it from the rooftop as much as I used to. It definitely helped. I got rid of a lot of things. And when you get rid of things, you have less stuff. But you can still be left with nothing. You can be left with meaningless and a life that has no purpose. And as I discovered minimalism, I was like, oh, I really care for the earth too. So I went down this trail of zero waste. Guys, this one's a doozy, okay? Zero. I'm telling you right now, if you suffer from anxiety, depression, get your mind right first. And I'm telling you, if those dirty dishes bug the crap out of you, use the paper plates. Not styrofoam, paper plates. But I'm fine, really. This will destroy marriages, I'm telling you. At some point, I was so obsessed with plastic bags, and every time Daniel brought a plastic bag home from the grocery store, I'm like, no, I've been telling you, it's ruining the earth. Guys, your family is more important than this earth, because at the end of the day, we're not going to be here, okay? So if somebody's dealing with zero waste, now listen, I've done what I can, okay? I'm doing what I can. It's a journey, and I love it, and I love taking care of this earth, but you need to take care of yourself and your family. All this to say, I am an INFJ, if you know your Myers-Briggs. I am an Enneagram 5. I am a hippie. I'm an artist. I'm a mother. I'm a highly sensitive person, HSP. I'm dealing with it, but that just means I get overwhelmed very easily with loud sounds, and Daniel deals with me, he knows. Sometimes I can't be touched, like, no, it's too much, like with the kids just hanging on you all day. It's a lot better now, but like there was one time I was like, please do not touch me. I've had every kid hand just all over me, and I don't want to, just need to go cry in a bathroom floor. All those things might define a piece of who I am, but they do not define me. And I want to share some of the things that helped me figure out who I am and kind of find my way back to the Father through those years and through those dark times. So here's the practical part of the message, guys. Slide one should be up. I don't know if the child of God slide went up, but you can have that. And of course, I had to create my own slides. So there's that. And then we're going to talk about praying. God had my back, for sure, because at the time when I was really, really struggling, like I said, I wasn't praying much. I wasn't reading my Bible. Basically kind of gave up on that. Some random lady started sending me messages on Facebook. Like, I don't even know her, but she started sending me a devotional. Every single day she would send me a devotional, and I would make it a point to just read that two paragraphs with one verse. And I was just like, okay. And I just felt at that time God was spoon-feeding me. Like, at a time when I couldn't even pick up my own Bible, it caused me so much anxiety. I was even more anxious because I didn't want to read my Bible, and I didn't want to pray. And that caused me to even go down further into this spiral of darkness. Pray without ceasing. Pray out loud if you have to just shut the voice of the enemy that tells you these lies, that you're not good enough, and that causes more fear, and that like every everybody around you is going to get hurt. These thoughts, they will consume you. And we're gonna get there. This is praying. If you're not doing this yet, pray without ceasing is in the Bible. I don't know if I ever sit, like, actually kneel down on my knees and pray over my bed or anything like that, but I'm praying in the car. I'm praying when I'm going to bed. I'm praying as I'm walking. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to lead me in what I do, in the steps that I take. So important for a believer. I pray with my daughter every night. We started this a long time ago to start praying for the things we're thankful for. She's kind of like me, and she kind of sees the gloom and doom. So I'm trying to pray that out of her as well, because I would hate for her to end up a lot like that. So one of the things we do is pray for what we're thankful for during that day. Kind of brings it back to God and how he's blessed us. So I pray with her every night. Recently we had this Hagen come this past week. And at some point they talked about praying and just like praying for what you need. And I got really encouraged, and I told her, and Everly has been telling me she wants a pet. And she's like, I want a cat. I was like, well, you know what? You should pray for a cat. I don't mind cats. They're pretty easy, right? So I was really excited when she came back from school, and she gave me her book fair papers. And I was like, oh, thank you. She's like, hey, but I don't even care about the book fair because I've been praying for a pet. I was like, good. You know, she was excited. She knew I probably wasn't going to let her buy a book and get a pet. And she's like, yeah, I'm praying for a dog. I was like, no, 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 we didn't agree. We didn't agree to pray for a dog. I was like, she went straight to God and like skipped over yeah. I love dogs. I love our Zeus, rest in peace, but they are a lot of work. It's a lot of care. I don't know if I'm ready for a dog, but guys, if you see a dog at my house, it's because of Everly. And she's going to think God hears her. I'm scared for what's coming. I'll make it. Dog or not. How about a little dog that we can just like take everywhere with us? Daniel, maybe? All right. Poor Zeus. Love him. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I cannot tell you how many times I was so anxious for things. The fear, like I said, I'm not even going to share the things, the places my mind went that didn't need to be there. It was dark, guys. It was a really dark time. I'm so thankful for God bringing me back to the light. Be anxious for nothing. Guys, when that anxiety comes and attacks you and the enemy, the words, your own words come and tell you these things, come back to this and pray to God. Pray it out loud. Use your mouth, because sometimes if you're praying in your head, there's something about your mouth arresting your mind. So I definitely telling you to pray. I love this, Hebrews 9:9. Let's see if it, the gifts and sacrifices, okay, so I was like, side note, rabbit hole, right? Hebrews might have been written by a woman. As I was preparing for this message, I got really excited because I didn't even know that was a thing, but I don't know, but I'm gonna say that Hebrews might have been written by Priscilla, and there's a lot of scriptures pertaining to Hebrews today, so go Priscilla. Anyway, that was totally a side note. She's talking about worshiping in the temple. She's talking about before Jesus paid the price for our sins. The gifts and sacrifices they offered were not enough. They were not able to remove the worshipper's feelings of guilt. I don't know how many of us believe in Jesus. I imagine there's a few of us in here that maybe do not. We'll pray for you later. Jesus did not die for 50% of your sins. He paid the entire price for those things. when I am in my guilt, when I am in those anxious moments where these thoughts, these really dark thoughts, consumed me, and I thought that I was broken, which I probably was, very broken, God paid the price for that, guys. Let's move on to Hebrews 9:14. I don't know if it has the whole thing, but Christ offered himself to God without any flaw. He did this through the power of the eternal Holy Spirit. So much more will his blood wash our minds and our feelings of guilt for committing sin. Sin always leads to death, but now we can serve the living God. Woo! I can get excited about that. Dang, that guilt will eat you alive, but he paid the price. He paid it in full for you guys. And I love this because your innocence can be restored through that worship and through that prayer, guys. Innocence being restored. You know what that means? That means he's cleansing your mind of all those thoughts that you just thought you were going to have to deal with the rest of your life. No, it's, I'm telling you, I'm living proof that you do not have to have those thoughts anymore. Amen. New memories, guys. This is how good he is, God. In these times when it was like spiraling out of control, the anxiety, the depression, the tiredness, I'm not good enough. I'm not who he said I am. And, just so powerful. I can't even believe it. Your innocence can be restored, guys. New memories for those dealing with battles in your mind. There is hope. There is healing. Number two, I got praise. I think there is a slide, and I think I'm going to need it because I don't know if I put all of, should be slide two, praise. Praise, also, thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. We're talking about praising and worshiping. Praising is the part where we're thanking God, and even in all of the darkness and all of your sin, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever drug addiction you're going through, give thanks to God for what he has done and where you are and where you're going. The world, I read a lot of business books. I read a lot of self-help books. And they talk about gratitude and giving thanks, and it's this way of finding happiness, right? Can I just say that, this is on the internet, isn't it? I'm really tired of how self-help books are using the values found in the Bible and not giving credit to the original author of those things. And I think we need to give glory. Give glory for the original author of thanksgiving and gratitude and love and peace of mind and meditation. Anyway. So, wait. Give me that back because I, for some reason, missed. When you don't feel like it, praise him. Ah. This is so rough. When you hate life and when you are in the midst of it, praise him. In the middle of your sin, when you think, I'm addicted and I can't stop, praise God in that moment, guys. Just take the moment and thank him and keep praising him. I promise it'll get better. The next slide is a little snippet from Jane Marcheski. Jane shouldn't have done this slide, it's too close. Jane was a friend of mine. Jane Marcheski fought cancer, passed away a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months. Her story is so, the way she talked about pain and suffering at a time when I was going through it was so close. And this lady suffered more pain than I could ever imagine. And here, put it back up because I need to read it. This is so important, I've got to tell you, because maybe you'll listen to me because of the road I've walked. He is still good. He is still good. He is still good through your pain, through your suffering, through your addictions. He is so good. And even though you don't feel like it now, there is healing and there's miracles. There's miracles standing in front of you right now. Hebrews 4:16. Love this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, or as in other versions, boldly, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Guys, when I was going through my, I don't know, this mental breakdown, whatever you want to call it, I did not have the confidence to come to God. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel clean. I was not authentic. I have to tell you a little story. Tell a little story here. It was me and my coworker were interviewing this girl that we wanted to hire. We were giving her these questions. They weren't very much work related, but I think one of the things was like, "What do you want to be most remembered for when you die," or something like along those lines. What do you want to be most remembered for? She said, "Being authentic." And I remember not thinking too much about it. And after she had left, and I was talking with my coworker, we just got done with the interview. She looks at me, she's like, "Oh, wasn't that beautiful? Being authentic, like being the number." I was like, "Are you serious? Like, no, I'm hiding everything right now. I do not want anyone to know how broken I am inside. I would lose my job. Maybe my kids would get taken away from me." Authenticity was the last thing I wanted. I don't think you have to share all your pains with everybody, but at that time in my life, I might have been three, four years ago, I just remember thinking, like, I would love to be authentic. I want to be that, but I can't. And anybody who knows me during that time, I don't know. Maybe you could see through my fakeness. But when I came to church every day, I'm not gonna say all of it was fake. I needed God. I really did. And praying, but as far as being authentic and like not letting anybody know about my problems, it got so bad that finally I was like, okay, I give up. I started asking for help. I told everybody I met. I was like at least Angie Pennington was there. I had a life coach. Thank God she was a Christian too and dealt with me. But I was just like, I don't know if I need a psychologist. I don't know if I need to exercise. I don't know if I need like a medical doctor, but something is wrong with me. And it's bad. I started reaching out wherever I could reach out. And I remember we had a prayer service and I was praying right over here. And I closed my eyes and I was just praying and bawling. And I could just, in my head, I could just see the darkness. And I just remember feeling like, just let the darkness consume you. And I'm like, I can't do that. But it's so funny because I felt like it was God just like giving me permission to let all those thoughts and everything. And I just like, I let go, you know, I let go. And I was just like, fine, just let me think all the dark thoughts of everything that I'm thinking of. And in my head, all the darkness consuming me, I'm holding on to this rope. And I finally let go. And I'm like, okay, I'm falling into the abyss. And there were hands right underneath of me, just inches away from my feet. And something broke that night. And it was the beginning of my healing. It took some time. It really did. It took me a while, but I knew God was there. I just kept holding on. I started meeting with some ladies, doing a Bible study, I began to feel more confident, like that verse says, to let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, even if you don't know what you're praying for. I invite you to at least start somewhere with confidence. With confidence. So I like this. If you read the verse before, so that was 4:16 that says to let us approach God's throne. If you look right before it, it says, we have a high priest who can feel it when we are weak and hurting. And my point is boldly, with confidence, approaching that throne of God, even when you're weak, even when you're hurting. And it's like they almost put it there so we would, that's for us. It's for the weak and it's for the hurting. Number three, I don't know what's on this slide. Maybe you are a child of God. Oh, no, it's not. Okay, keep God first. So this, okay. I am going to talk a little bit about you, Daniel, but I think this is okay. as I'm prepping for this sermon, I asked Daniel, I was like, okay, so if you go with the order that everybody, like a lot of church people will tell you, it's God first, your spouse or your marriage second, like, and then your kids. It's very important to be in line with your spouse and then your kids. And I'm not going to go into it right now. And then comes ministry. And I told him, I was like, well, can I like mix ministry and career together? Because I mean, I feel like my career, like what I do is part of my ministry. And he's like, yeah, you better think on that more. And I was just like, what? Is that not like holy? Like, it's not good enough. I run some things by him, but sometimes he like really lets me down on my beliefs. He's the good one. He's the healthy one. Okay, he doesn't deal with some of the things I have to deal with. Anyway, okay, so we're like talking about this. He's like, I don't know, I don't know if that, you know. And I was like, well, you know what? Never mind, because you know what? If you keep God first, I promise you the other ones are going to align themselves, okay? Yeah, I mean, that's seriously. Keeping God first probably saved our marriage. Is going to save our family, keeping God first. You might think Daniel and I agree over everything, but we're both very stubborn people, actually. I've been helping him a lot, but I am always right. Anxiety and overthinking will do that to you. I'm just kidding. I'm not overthinking. Like everybody was like I said, they told me, be authentic, don't overthink it. I was like, look, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to give up overthinking. maybe in a couple years I'll come back and preach on overthinking, but I haven't fought that battle and won yet. So we'll see. Keeping God first, reading your Bible. I encourage you, if you're not, am I over my time? Wow. That's a miracle, guys. I'm not a talker. Okay, I promise I'm not. okay, let's get through. This is almost the end. Reading the Word of God is so important. Do one verse. Do one verse a week if it has to start somewhere. You're here. You're in the right place, guys. Bring your kids to church. Mothers, it's so important. So that way when they fall away from who they are, they can come back here and know who they are. I'm so sorry. You're going to have to put that up again. I'll put the meet with other believers. So important. Like I said, you're in the right spot. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. You have a Holy Spirit. You have a helper. He's in the Bible, and he's here to help you and guide you. And he's a gentleman, from what I hear. So you have to ask him to do that. So pray for that. Pray for that Holy Spirit to help you, to guide you, to be a light in the world. This next slide. Okay, if you don't remember anything from here, from this whole service, you're a child of God, and I want you to get your phones out if you have to. I got two slides. I got one for the mothers. Okay, go ahead. It's the mommy, you are a daughter first. Before you were ever a mother, you were a child. And I think you guys know this, but And for those of you who didn't grow up with good moms and dads, I am sorry. Maybe you have somebody who has taken that place and they're just as much family. But you have got to remember to come to the throne of God as our Father and have that confidence in him. The second one, Daniel was like, well, that's not very manly. So I got you a daddy. You are a son first. Point being, you are a child of God. If you don't remember anything from here, what does a child do? A child is free, doesn't have as much anxiety, is free to run and play and come to mommy and daddy whenever they need anything. I still go to my mom today. I am that meme that basically, like, if I'm having a hard time with the kids, I will go to my mom's house, sit on the couch and eat ice cream and give the kids to my mom for her to watch. And I don't even have to ask. Like, it just happens. She's like, can I get you anything? My dad's like, can I get you a tea? I was like, sure. I know where it is. I can go get it myself. But that's what a mom and dad is. That's all of the points that I have for you. Just reiterating healing and hope for those of you guys that need it.
Thanks again for joining us for this message from More Life Church. Now, if this message spoke to you, we would love for you to share it with someone you think could use it. And finally, if you would like to partner with us financially, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give. Now have an amazing day.